Great job, Thomas Randall. He has controlled it from the start. He's going to pick up another race win.
There's going to be many, many big moments to come. We've got no doubt about that with Tommy Randall.
Thomas Randall, you've got guts, mate. You've got serious guts.
Tickford Racing's Tom Randall. Tommy, you're in the hot seat.
Thomas Randall, welcome back.
Your winner here on the mountain. Here's Tom Randall.
Yes, please welcome back to the driver's seat and someone that's had a lot of commitments on a Wednesday night thanks to the E-Series, but he's finally made it, the one and only Thomas Randall.
Hey, you guys have really worked on that intro and it is paying off beautifully. So thank you for all the effort there.
You listen to that opener and there's lots of good racing stuff there, mate, but lots of interviews as well. Like, you are a media megastar listening to...
I would call it something else.
Yeah.
A media...
What would
something.
You call it, eh?
A media...
Yeah, well, we won't do that. But it's been a big jump from Super 2 to main game for you. You're in your rookie year. How would you, as we come into the big one, what would you give us out of 10, your effort
you
so
media.
Far?
Hoo-ah!
Yeah. Oh, you can't say
I
that,
I didn't
Steve
say
J.
that. I said hoo-ha.
Give us that's close to the knuckle, my friend. Give us a 1 to 10. Where are you at? How's your first year gone?
Ooh. I'm going to have to say, look, probably I reckon a 7. I think the last couple of rounds have certainly been a lot stronger. But, yeah, definitely there's room for improvement. But, yeah, I think the first half of the year was a bit tricky. I mean, we've had quite a lot of BNFs. I think we've had 5 or 6 this year, so that certainly hasn't helped the points tally. But yeah, I think we're moving up, and I think we're getting some more consistent results. So yeah, perfect heading into Bathurst. And as Stevie J said a bit earlier, he's right. It just doesn't feel like that time of year. I can't believe how fast this year has gone by.
Hey, give us a 1 to 10 on your starts this year.
Oh well. That's too soon, I reckon, Stevie. It's too soon.
Sorry, mate.
Sorry, yes. Did you want to... I'll give you a 0 to 1. Okay, so my 0 to 100 at Salem, then I reckon at the point of impact would have been pretty high. Yeah.
Your fastest 0 to 100 start all year.
I mean, the G-forces that you pull when you do a race start are probably... You know, let's say 1.2, maybe 1.4 Gs. I mean, if I could do more race starts at 38 Gs, I tell you what, I'd be first by turn one every time.
Now, and that begs a question because you did have to go through.
I shouldn't laugh about that. I shouldn't.
You set it up beautifully, mate. You had to go through some treatment in the off season. You lost one of the Saladas. So after that contact on the main straight of Taylor Bend, the world wants to know, how is the Jats cracker after that? You haven't been asked that by too many media outlets, have you, brother?
I tell you what, are you sure we're doing an interview right now? I feel like one.
That's how we roll on the driver's seat.
How you roll? No, we're all good. The sole survivor is all good. He's in track. And we're ready to get back on.
No, but in all seriousness...
You've broken me.
I did give you a buzz and it was good that you were okay after that. It was pretty horrible. So you did have to go through, you had to get some massages. You were pretty sore the next day after chatting to you. So, but to be able to pull through that is a good testament to not only yourself and your fitness, but also the strength of the car too.
Oh, 100%. I mean, one of the biggest safety improvements, well, obviously they've moved the seat further inboard on the current cars and then moving the fuel cell in front of the rear axle. They're probably the two that have saved myself and Andre. They're probably the strongest and safest chassis around. You know, they're safer than a GT car. The work that's put into those cars, and I think Gen 3 is going to be even stronger. So I'm looking forward to that. And I mean, it was, as you said, a pretty brutal experience. But certainly the biggest crash I've had in my career. And it was just nice to try to get that out of the brain going into Sandown. And you know, we went into Sandown, we had our strongest round, getting in the shootout, top five quality and a couple of top 10 results. So, yeah, that was a good step forward. And hopefully we can continue on that trajectory into Bathurst.
It was a really successful weekend for you, both on the track and off, mate, because as I mentioned earlier, you did have a brush with our friend Cancer earlier in the year, which has led you to a really strong partnership with the Peter McCallum Cancer Foundation. Mate, very happy. In fact, Nimsy, get the applause button ready because you raised over 50 grand for the Peter McCallum Cancer Foundation, mate. And that's a great effort over one weekend. Well done. Yeah. Congrats on that. That's huge.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, first of all, got to thank everyone who was part of it. I mean, my dad as well for helping sort of get all together. Tickford for all their support. Castrol for changing the livery and donating to the cause. Eddie Clemenko, she made a very generous donation, 20 grand. A lot of my sponsors donated and everyone else too who got on board. And it was just a fantastic weekend. As you said, even off the track, we had around 100 patients and staff members from Peter Mac come out across the weekend, and most of them had never even seen a motorsport event live. So it was great for them, and I think we've got some new fans of the sport, and you know, that's the great thing about it all is just giving back. And I think we've got such a great platform to do these sorts of things. So yeah, I mean, we're already looking at what we can do next year, because as you said, I mean, it's incredible that we raised over 50 grand, but we just want to keep trying to raise the bar. And And if we can keep doing that, then that'd be great, because at the end of the day, places like Peter Mac are publicly funded, so donations mean the world to them.
Hey, mate, obviously want to talk a bit more racing now. So we got Bathurst coming up, so obviously the biggest one of the year for you. But just going through your stats and obviously knowing you for quite a long time, you know, we're all... Just for, you know, I know the reason and Maddie knows the reason, but for a lot of our fans and listeners, they'd like to probably understand, you know, Tommy Randall, you know, always at the front of the field, Super 2, you know, you were so successful in there, always at the front, pole positions, race wins, championships. But, you know, we can see you now, you know, obviously you have a good one at Sandown where you're, you know, knocking just inside the top 10 and that sort of thing. What's the, obviously... the difference, you know, give us a bit of a summary of the jump from Super 2 to Supercars, and is it what you expected? I know you've done some long distance races as co-drivers in the past, but your first full-time year, you know, it's obviously a bigger step than what people realise.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and you know what, Steve, as you know, it's not even just down to one thing. I mean, I think firstly, the professionalism from all the teams. And I'm not saying that Super 2 and Super 3 aren't, but you're at this level where, you know, some teams have got 30, 40, 50 employees, and everyone's trying to do the same thing, you know, with all the engineers. And these cars are in their 10th season now of running. So all the drivers that aren't rookies, you know, they've been driving these cars in the main series for quite a long time, you know. There's so much experience there collectively on the grid, and the intensity level, I know it probably sounds a bit cliche, but it is just another step up, and every single session, everyone is just on their game. So it's the biggest thing I've probably got used to, but trying to get used to, is that, for example, in Super 2, if you just do a quality lap that's 95%, you know, you hit your marks, and you just sort of get everything right. You don't try and overdrive, don't overstep the mark. You're probably guaranteed a top three, top four starting position, because a lot of guys, you know, just try and push a bit too hard and make mistakes. Whereas in the main series, that's just not enough. 95% lap is not enough. You have to be 100%, and sometimes, you know, that's not enough. So I think the biggest thing for me is the margins. I mean, some tracks we've been to this year, first to 25th has been 0.8 of a second. And that's just, to be honest, unheard of in Super 2 and in a lot of categories around the world. So it's probably just all the fine tuning, you know, whether it's me in the car, whether it's just trying to get that last bit out of the vehicle. And it's the relationships. I mean, this is my first full-time year, as you said, in the category, but also working with my engineer Raymond. It's his first year full time, so there's a lot of new moving parts. But every round we're learning stuff on the track, off the track, what we can do better for next time, and I think that's all we can really do. So next year is going to be interesting. I think with the Gen 3 cars, I feel like that's going to mix it up a bit, because then everyone's going to be in the same boat, new cars, new philosophies, and it'll be interesting to see who's able to get on top of it the quickest.
Mate, I think from my point of view, and I'm not a football player, you know, I don't know the step up from reserve grade to the main game, but for me, when I watch a football game, for instance, a rugby league game, I'll watch, say, just a normal mid-season match, you know, obviously for the NRL Championship between whatever teams, mm-hmm. okay? Yep. But then you watch the State of Origin, and then you see that just the intensity and the tackles and the relentlessness of both teams in that seems to be, for me, just watching the normal, round 10 of the,
it's a definite
the NRL
step up.
Championship.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
It goes up another level, like more elite, if that makes sense.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
Yeah,
and that's what it feels like for me anyway. So.
That's spot on. Spot on.
Yeah, and you've got to be careful with that sort of stuff, because, you know, you come from being the grade sixer in primary school, being the top of the tree, to being the younger person up in high school in year seven, and you go through a definite change back. But it's an interesting vibe in your team, because you've got a really strong mix of rookie and, dare I say, veteran with James
nice.
Courtney in the team.
I was about to say, JC is going to be very appreciative, you said.
Veteran, journeyman, whatever you'd like to call him.
Dad. We call him Dad. We just call him Dad.
We call him Dad. Yeah, he's about to get a whole lot more of that around his mouth, let me tell you.
100%.
How's the culture within the team? Because two rookies and two experienced guys, obviously you've got Cam Waters in there with you and Jake Kostecki. Is that something that you lean on? Do you go to those two boys and say, what's going on here? Or is it really like a, you know, everyone's a quarter share in the data and all of that kind of stuff and adding to the team? Or are those guys really leading from the front, given their experience?
To be honest, we all get along like a house on fire. I mean, we've got a group chat that we all talk to each other almost every day in. And everyone looks at everyone's data. It's very open. If we've got any issues, we'll just say it. And that's what I think has been really good this year, is that we're all trying to work towards the same goal. I mean, and that's how the team succeeds, or it heads down that path of succeeding. I mean, you know, Cam's, you have to say, it has been the lead driver. It's good to lean on him. But, if I've ever got any questions, off track, on the track, whatever it's about, I can lean on all those guys. We all get along really well. And I think it makes the team stronger. And, really looking forward to working together with all of them next year.
So speaking of looking forward, let's eyes forward to Bathurst. Fair co-driver, young Zach Best, who put it on pole at Tail and Bend, the ill-fated Tail and Bend for Thomas Randall. But he's a bit of a gun, isn't he? Like, and he's really showing his colours, stepped it up, showed his talent. Are you confident going into the 1,000? What's the mindset when you've got him beside you as well? Because you could be a dark horse. You could be an outside threat, I reckon.
I mean, it'd be nice. I mean, it's one of those rounds. It's just, you don't know what you've got until you get there. I mean, everyone's, like I said, working towards the same goal, and you can have your pre-round confidence, I guess. But, like, it's going to be, honestly, it's going to be really cool pairing up with Zach. I mean, I've known Zach since my Matt White Super 2 days back in 2020, and, we've been, been good mates ever since. So to be teaming up with him is going to be really cool. And, we had the test day on Tuesday, running through all the procedures and him getting plenty of laps comfortable in the car. But, as you said, he drove stellar at Tail and Bend, so he knows what he's doing. Just a matter of making sure we keep it clean, get all the procedures right, because it's very easy to make a little slip up and you get a drive-through penalty or something like that. So it's just about minimise mistakes there and playing the long game, making sure you're there in the last stint. So, I think,
That car that you're driving, though, isn't that the car that he put on pole? Was that the car that he put on pole at Tailend Bend after, obviously, yours it wasn't able to be repaired?
Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, well, that's... yeah, right. Well, that
should be on pole at Bathurst. Maybe.
Oh, it's that easy.
Yeah. it's just that easy.
Says the bloke that never got a pole at Bathurst in supercar.
I got a second.
You got a second. But you never got a pole, did you?
No, I didn't get a pole. In supercars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Bathurst?
No, not at Bathurst.
No. Not at Bathurst.
Yeah, in TCM.
Oh, in TCM, yeah.
Hey, you got to be in it to win it, don't you?
Absolutely. That's now it. I've got a second. Remember, I think I qualified
Steve, just remember, out of you and me, who focuses on the TCM trophy races? You know, who focuses on winning those? All right. Just
correct.
Remember.
Yes, correct.
I had a couple of freezer. You know,
Tom wanted the fridge way more than I did. So,
hey, did you do some TCM? Thing,
so. Yeah, 2019.
He drove Rusty French's black Mustang.
Oh, he did too. Mm. Yes,
we had a good battle. Yeah. We did.
Yeah, in the main race or in the trophy races?
Main race.
Okay. Righto.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think it was qualifying was less than a tenth between us, wasn't it? It was bloody close.
It was.
It's actually quite funny because both like I think out of all of us, Matty, you're the only one that's had to stare at Tommy's brake lights in a race.
No, I did. I watched his brake lights a little bit. A little bit of Phillip Island.
When would I have looked at Tommy's brake lights?
In the tin top.
I did too. That's when we did Aussie tin tops.
Your memory is gone. This is what.
Well.
Well, hang on a minute.
A few concussions there, mate.
Yeah.
I've hit the odd wall or two. I did. Tommy was in.
Do you know what was good about that race?
Go on.
Rolling starts.
Correct. Yeah. Now you were in Rusty French's
Bentley
thing. Oh mate, I didn't look at his brake lights.
There was no brake lights. Sitting in pit lane before you went out.
Yeah, no, I saw Tommy's headlights as he was passing me and lapping me. I wasn't. I never saw Tommy's brake lights, mate. I'll give you the strong tip.
Well, that was fun.
Well, that was a good weekend.
Well, Tom, we've got a lot of. It's funny too because, like, you know, you've been a part of this show and a part of this station for a very long time, and it just seems like almost yesterday. You know, you were the debut at the Adelaide 500 back in 2018, and we've just all loved not just myself, Steve, and Matty, but like all of the driver's seat fans. We've really enjoyed seeing what you're doing in the main game, and it's just been awesome. Seeing you finally get that full-time seat, because Lord knows, I don't have to tell you, it felt like a long time coming, but we're so glad to see you finally in the main game, mate.
Nah, thanks, guys. And it certainly felt like that for me too. So great to be here. And you sometimes just got to sit back and smell the roses, because it's certainly a one in a million job. You know, I mean, there's, what, 25 million people in Australia, and there's 25 seats. So it's literally one in a million.
Yeah. And I tell you what, Tommy makes a mean carbonara.
You're reaching for the gags.
We'll put the photo up. I'll send the photo to Nimsy and we'll put it up on our. Tommy made me a birthday dinner.
Yeah, that sounds romantic.
The carbonara, but
the carbonara.
I'm telling you right now, there's not a lot of carbs in it. A lot of potassium.
That sounds like a very romantic dinner between you two boys, right? I'll get the skinny on that after we go to the break.
But hey, Tommy, all the best for Bathurst, mate. Hopefully we'll catch a trackside sometime soon. And again, a big congratulations to the fine work that you, Tickford, Castrol Racing, and all of your sponsors and partners and the fans did to raise a great amount of money for Peter Mac. Because as you said, this work that they do is literally saving lives every day, and they need our help to do so. So give yourself a pat on the back, mate, and hopefully we'll see you up the front at Bathurst.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure as always.